Good morning. It's wonderful to be here together as God's people. And as the Lord calls us to worship, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we'll be doing a call to worship from the book of Psalms, chapter 66. The Lord calls us to worship from Psalm 66. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Though the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to Your name. Heaven, we do cry out to You that You would be with us today, meet with Your people by Your Spirit, that we would think Your thoughts after You, that Your Word would be opened up to our minds and to our hearts, that we would read and hear and believe the great Word of God, that it is true and right and sure and it doesn't change. Lord, we pray by Your Spirit that You would fill us to understand it, to understand what we are to believe about You and how we are to obey You and glorify You in our lives. Lord, we pray that You would be pleased in our worship now as we sing praises to You and lift up our voices. Would You lift up our hearts and lift up our heads that we would look to You, our great Heavenly Father. And Lord, help us now as we pray, praying as You taught Your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. If you'd like to turn there, you can, to page number 845. Let's recite together what we believe about our great Heavenly Father. Page 845, the Apostles' Creed together. Christian, what is it that you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our assurance of pardon this morning comes from the book of Colossians. Hear these words as words to you, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of His children. This is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, starting in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your own mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Praise the Lord for the work that He does to make us His people and to pardon us from all of our sins. Take your hymnal. We'll be singing hymn number 110, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah.
A place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way that I go. Can anybody say what the promise was that Jesus made? He promised he was going back to heaven, right? And he promised to make a place for his people. That you and I have a place in heaven with him, a place where we will never be away from him, a place that we get to stay with him forever. So let me ask you a question. Have you read that promise? This is question number 139, if you have the numbers and the questions. Will the Lord Jesus come again? Yes, he absolutely will. We believe that he is coming again because he promised that he would, and the Lord Jesus keeps his promises to his people. He makes these promises to you that you would believe them, but also that they would encourage your heart. That he is coming again, and he will be with you, and he will set everything right in the world. Let me pray for you. Close your eyes. Father, we thank you that you make promises to us, that you make promises to us as your children, and that you, our God in heaven, the one who created all things, love us, and you keep your promises. Lord, I pray for these covenant children, that they would hear and believe the promises, that they would live lives that honor you, that they would be encouraged to know that even though this world may be difficult and sometimes lonely, and sometimes it doesn't make sense, that you are our God in heaven and that you do keep your promises, and that one day the things that are broken and that don't work in this world and the things that we do that even we might be surprised at sometimes, that you are coming and you will receive us to yourself and you will make all things new. Lord, I pray for their faith that they would cry out to you at a young age asking that they might be forgiven of their sins and have a home in heaven forever with you. In your name, amen. Thank you. Let's stand together now to do a responsive reading from Psalm 18. It's page number 789. Page number 789, this is Psalm 18. I'll read the light portion, let's respond with the bold. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless.
To the pure you show yourself pure. To the crooked you show yourself truth.
You save the humble. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light.
With your help, I can advance against the truth. With my God, I can scale a wall.
As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless.
He is a shield for all who take refuge in him.
For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God?
It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect.
He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights.
He trains my hands for battle, my arms invent a bow of bronze.
You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great.
You draw on the back beneath me, so that my ankles do not turn.
Turn in your hymnal to number 32, singing Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thou savest all.
pray together. Father, as we come now to this time in our service of worship, to pray, to look to You as our Creator God, our Heavenly Father, the One who sits on the throne, who sits in unapproachable light. Lord, we are humbled with our heads bowed and our bodies made low before the One who created the heavens and the earth. Lord, You spoke everything into existence, and You need no assistance from us to do all the work that You do to make this world stay together. You put life in our bodies, breath in our lungs. And Lord, as we pray now, I pray for Your people. I pray for Your people who long to see the day when You will come and make all things right and make all things new, and You will deliver us from this body of sin. And You will make these bodies that are weak and frail exchanged with a body that is like the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray, hastening that day, that it would come quickly, and until then, that You would keep Your people faithful to You, walking in the paths of obedience and righteousness that You have made for them. Lord, I pray for Your people who desire to be here today but can't be, who've been hindered for one reason or another, that You would encourage them by Your Spirit even right now. Lord, I pray for Your people who maybe have walked away from You, who don't desire the things that You've given them, but You made promises to them years ago, and they don't taste as sweet as they did once before. Lord, I pray for Your people that You would remind them of Your goodness and Your faithfulness. I pray for those here at Lebanon who are sick and are struggling in their bodies, who are not able to get up and do the things they once were able to do. Lord, I pray for those who are sick at home and who are there each day, that You would comfort them by the Holy Spirit, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be near to them, that You would give them relief in their bodies today, if it be Your will. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling mentally and emotionally, who are really struggling in this world, and each day just to put the feet out of the bed and hit the floor is difficult. And I pray that You would work in their hearts, that they would be encouraged by the gospel, that they would hear in all the voices that they hear in their heart and in their mind, that they would hear it, the still small whisper of their Savior, that You are with them, that You love them, and that You are for them, and that You promise to never leave them or forsake them. Lord, I pray for each of us now as we come to the reading and hearing of Your word, that You would use it mightily for the sake of Your people, that the gospel would go forth, that people who are here today who don't know You would cry out in faith because of Your word and Your Holy Spirit working in their heart and in their life. I pray that You would encourage Your people. Lord, teach us how to walk in Your ways and to be obedient, that we would glorify You in our homes here at Lebanon Presbyterian Church and in our neighborhoods for the sake of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is entitled, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. It's the same sermon title from last week, but a different text. Psalm 103, I'll be reading verses 13 through 22. This is the word of the Lord. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. Last week we looked at the first 12 verses of this psalm, and we said that to bless the Lord is to praise Him, for who He is, to cry out in wonderful praise to Him for what He has done in our lives and in His people's lives, and to praise Him and worship Him for what we believe He will do according to His promises. We also said that God's people, you and I, were made for worship, to worship Him only, to see Him only as our King and our God, the one who made all things. And our worship is our proper response, your response and mine, that we would give to a righteous and holy God, one who holds all things together by the word of His power. We said that worship is a posture, it's humility. It's the way that we look at the Lord Jesus, the way that we look at His church, the way that we look at one another, and maybe the way that we look at ourselves. As you look in the mirror, do you think, I don't need a Savior. I don't really owe anyone my worship. As I look at my life, this is the sum total of my doing, not anyone else's. As you look at yourself, we should be called together in humility. Worship is also seeing the Word and hearing it with our ears and proclaiming that it is good and right, even if we don't understand all the ways of the Lord. Worship includes the confession of our sins, speaking them out loud with our mouths. The Bible says that to confess our sins is to not hide them from the Lord Jesus or to sweep them under the rug, as we know He doesn't. Worship is also prayers, offering up your desires to God. Prayer is not just something that happens here on Sunday morning. It's something that happens in your home. It happens on the drive to work. It happens on the way to the store, maybe coming back. Prayer is speaking with your Heavenly Father and communing with Him. It's also speaking His goodness. Something that I asked you last week is, do you journal? Do you write down the things that God has done in your life to record His faithfulness, to remind yourself in maybe difficult or dark days, days where it is difficult to believe and where walking this life is quite hard, just to remind yourself, He is faithful. He is good to me. He has not forgotten me. It is a wonderful treasure to remember the faithfulness of the Lord. Our hearts are energized in worship. I love to be able to come in on Sunday morning. Jimmy asked us to stand and to sing songs of praise to God. It helps set my heart right to be centered and focused on the Lord Jesus, singing praises to Him. I need that on Sunday mornings. I need it every morning. I need to remember that God is good, that He's alive, that He hasn't left me. Our hearts are energized in worship as we remember God's faithfulness. It's not about a feeling for ourselves. It's about seeing who we are under the headship of our Creator and walking in His ways and the riches that He has poured out on us. This psalm is David's reflection on the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord Jesus. And as he looks at His sovereign care over David's life, he is overwhelmed with praise. I must praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, he says. And for David, this has to include the ups and the downs. He's the God of the ups and He's the God of the downs. And some of you walk through difficult times, and maybe today is a difficult time for you. And He is sovereign over that, even in the midst of those difficult steps. As David reflects on how his Heavenly Father has pursued him, he believes that his Heavenly Father is pursuing him, not leaving him alone. As he reflects on that, he overflows with praise to God for restoring him and for delivering him. Restoring him, restoring his heart and his trust in the Lord, and also delivering him from enemies and darkness and from being separated from the Lord. As we look at this psalm this morning, as we reflect on God's goodness to us, as you think about it yourself, I want to look at these verses 13 through 22 under three headings. Our compassionate Heavenly Father, number one. Number two, the steadfast love of the Lord. And lastly, number three, overflowing with praise. And if you have a hymnal still, it'll be a few minutes before we look there, but I want to ask you, if you want, I'll be reading it. Turn to page 877. This is where the shorter catechism is. And just leave it there, if you will. Leave a finger there. We're going to look at it in just a moment throughout the sermon this morning at some of the questions and the answers. So number one, our compassionate Heavenly Father. Look at verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. This verse is about God's love and his sovereign care over us. As a father, how many of you think of God as your heavenly Father as you pray? As you cry out to him, that he hears you as a father. He doesn't force you to come to him only as the God and King of the universe, though he absolutely is. We bow down to him in worship. We offer up praise to him. But he says, come to me tenderly as your father. I love you. And he doesn't ask us to come to him as the pagan gods do, doing things to ourselves or sacrificing things to others, because he sacrificed his son once and for all. And we come into his presence as our heavenly father based on the finished work of Jesus. And he doesn't ask us to come to him as a slave goes to a master. He says, you come to me as sons and daughters if you belong to me. If you are one of my children, if you have faith in my son, as a father has pity on his children, so our heavenly father treats us. It says that he has compassion on us. He sees how we are made, tenderness and love. And he empathizes with us as no one else can. You know, there are times when people say nice, kind words to you. Maybe you're going through something that's difficult, and they want to say something that's nice and kind to you to communicate how much they love and care for you. And yet you know that unless they've walked that road, they don't quite understand. And yet the Bible says that our Heavenly Father does understand. And he does hear the cries of our hearts. And the Holy Spirit prays for us even when we can't say the words. He prays on our behalf. He makes intercession for us. As our compassionate Heavenly Father, he is our healer and the preeminent example in the Bible. In Psalm 147, verse 3, it says that he, the Lord, tends our wounds. He is the one that cares for us. He is the consummate Father to nurture and to discipline us. All of his ways are good. In nurturing and in discipline, sometimes discipline is difficult. Children, if you've been disciplined for something that you did that you know you shouldn't have done, discipline is not absent in a Christian home. It's something to teach us and to train us so that we would learn not to do it again. And the Lord is faithful to discipline and nurture his children. And maybe for some of you, you hear these words about the Lord treating us as a father has compassion and pity on his children, and you say, I look at my life as a father and I am a failure. I am an utter failure. Or maybe your father was a failure to you, your earthly father. And this psalm cries out to you as David poured his heart out to the Lord Jesus. Don't look to your own faithfulness. Look to the Lord Jesus. If you have failed or your earthly father failed you, didn't have pity on you, didn't have compassion on you, then look to your heavenly father. Don't use that as a reason to say, I cannot listen to this psalm. I can't hear about God being my father because you don't know what I went through. And I certainly don't. But I know that the Lord Jesus is faithful to his people. And I know that he cares. Our compassionate heavenly father loves us. And in verse 14, he also has a great memory of us and of creation. In verse 14, it says, for he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. In Genesis, the Bible says that God took from the dust of the earth and he formed man. God remembers how he made us because he is the creator of all the earth. There are people in our day who say, well, that's just a nice story to tell children or something nice to put on a flannel graph or a board. But that's not actually true. And anyone who is going to be intellectually honest has to say that the earth was created in a different way. There's no way that one being did all of this. And in the face of that, the Bible says it is absolutely true. God created the world by his very words. You don't have to put away your intellect or the brain that God gave you to believe in faith that he is the one that created the world. He absolutely did, and he governs it by his words. That is true and sure, and we can rest our hope in it. He is our creator. He knows our frame. He knows that we were formed in the dust. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, because he did it. He made us. Psalm 139, verse 13, you formed me in my inward parts. Jeremiah 1, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Do you question whether God knows me? Does He even understand what I'm going through? He absolutely does. Why would He make me this way to struggle with this or with that? His ways are higher than ours, and we certainly can't understand His wisdom. And we must cry out to Him and say, "Lord, You made me this way. You did it on purpose. And I must trust that You are a good and loving Heavenly Father. Even though this is difficult for me, You chose for this to be the path that I walk in. And I will walk it by faith because of You." As He has a memory of us, our Creator God, He has intimate knowledge of us. He knows our finiteness. He knows the ways that we can't understand all that He has done, and understands the full effect that Genesis 6 and the reality of it, the fall of man, has had on our lives. He understands the ways that we may cry out, either on Sunday morning or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, "Great is Your faithfulness." And then by that evening, we're grumbling against Him. He understands that we are not faithful, and yet He is faithful to us. Psalm 119, verse 73, "You formed me. Please give me understanding that I may walk in Your ways." Psalm 73, verse 26, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Those of you who've lived lives longer than some of us would say, yes, there are great things that the Lord has planned for us. But one of the most wonderful things you can do, young people, is walk in the ways of the Lord and be faithful to Him. He's not asking you to be a superstar. He's not asking you to be a champion. He says, "Look to My Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the champion. Look to Him. And if you fail, then fail looking at Me and walking in My ways." Not everything that you do will turn into gold. Not everything that you do will be awesome. But your loving Heavenly Father promises to be with you, promises to know you. Shorter Catechism, question number 100. I ask if you keep a place there on page 877. I want to talk just briefly for a moment about this question. It says, "What does the preface of the Lord's Prayer teach us?" We pray this prayer together each Sunday. And the answer is, the preface of the Lord's Prayer, which is, "Our Father, which art in heaven," teaches us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence, as children to a Father, able and ready to help us, and that we should pray with and for others. This is a shorter catechism. Many of you know that question and that answer. And I want to encourage you this morning, if maybe you have said in your heart, maybe not said out loud or written down anywhere that anyone could see, prayer doesn't really do anything. Prayer doesn't really change anything. It only is meant for weak people to feel better about themselves because they can't do anything about their life. I want to encourage you and help all of us to be instructed by God's Word that prayer is a mighty gift from the Lord Jesus to His church. And we commune with the Lord Jesus in our prayers. I want to encourage you to cry out to the Lord. He hears you when you pray. He knows how you were made because He made you. And cry out to Him for faith. Maybe you say, "I don't have faith. I don't have the kind of faith that you're talking about, or that David had, or that any of the great people in the Bible had, and I'm just a weak person." Cry out to the Lord for faith. He promises to meet you just where you are. You don't have to qualify yourself to be in His presence, because if it was based on your performance and my performance, none of us would be there. None of us. Because we are sinful people. David says that we are like grass. Now, why would he say that? We are the pinnacle of creation. Why would he say that men are like grass? David is using a simile to remind us that compared to a God who rules over all the earth and the entire universe and every molecule in it, nothing moves except by the hand of His sovereign power. As we look at that comparison between God and ourselves, we are weak and pretty small and sometimes insignificant. And as absolute and awesome as His power over all creation is, He still has a depth and well of love and zeal for His people. and a mighty strength and surety to bring about His covenant promises in our lives. Yes, we are like grass, just like the flower that blooms one day and fades and is gone, and the Bible says its place remembers it no more the next day. Yes, our lives are short, but the Bible says that we are of infinite value to God the Father. And if you question, well, how can that really be true? How can that really be true that I am of infinite value to the Heavenly Father? Then look to the Lord Jesus and see what He did to the Lord Jesus, that He might win your soul to belong to Him in heaven. If God crucified His Son and there was any price less than that, then He's cruel and mean and harsh, and He doesn't really care and have love. But if that was the cost, the infinite cost, to crucify His Son, then you are of infinite value to Him. And He loves you as your compassionate Heavenly Father. Number two, the steadfast love of the Lord is unmovable, immovable, and unshakable. Look at verse 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. Consider the power and the authority of God. It says in verse 11 that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so is His love for us. In verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. He doesn't leave them on us. As the Creator God, all things and all powers are at His disposal to bring about His will. And as the steadfast love of the Lord is set on His people, His precious people, nothing can loose them from His grip. He doesn't hold on to His anger, verse 9. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, in verse 10. And He pours out everlasting love on His children, verse 11. And He removes their sins from them, in verse 12, out of His pure delight and His prerogative as our loving Heavenly Father. It is of note in this passage that the phrase, the fear of the Lord, is mentioned in four different verses, in verse 11 and 13 and 17 and 18. The fear of the Lord. This isn't terror or shrieking, and it doesn't include anxiety, but the fear of the Lord is a proper response to awe and reverence of His power and His presence among His people. This fear leads to worship, as we have said last week and this week, and a humble heart that desires to obey God's commands. Lord, help me to walk in Your ways, not to pacify an angry sovereign that unless I do 1, 2, 3, and 4, He's going to be displeased with me. Well, I messed up again. No, not at all. The fear of the Lord is to honor His greatness and His majesty. The steadfast love of the Lord is seen in Him renewing a covenant with His people. We celebrate today the renewing of our vows to the Lord and glory in His covenant faithfulness to us as His people. This worship service represents a covenant renewal. The Lord has made promises to us to be faithful, to be our God, to watch over us, to provide for us. And we make vows and renew those vows to Him, that we would glory in His faithfulness and walk in His ways and promise to be His children and to live as He has taught us. By God's grace, according to His Spirit, as we live as humble children before Him, we also share our faith with our children and our children's children. That kind of covenant faithfulness is mentioned here in verse 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. Keep this in mind, dear parents, as you go through sometimes difficult days and long days and wearying days and the grind of raising children and saying something a second or a third time sometimes. And be encouraged as you say it once and your children obey, or they say back to you things that they heard in a Bible story or in family devotions. Don't be weary in raising children to know the Lord. We all need instruction. And I hope that it is an encouragement to you that as we read about God's faithfulness here in the Bible, that He is raising up another generation of the church to follow after us, to pass on the goodness of the Lord. He's doing that in the midst of long nights and difficult days. He's being faithful to His people through you. Remember that at meals. Remember it at bedtime. Remember it at bath time. And grandparents, remember that as you have your little grandchildren over. Remember that as you share the goodness of the Lord, how He has been faithful to your family. Don't take this responsibility lightly. We are to speak of the faithfulness of God, to remind His children how good He has been to us. And we need to hear how He has been faithful in your generation as we look to Him to be faithful in ours. What a blessing to be a part of a family that loves the Lord and that has seen Him be faithful from one generation to the next. In verse 19, it almost seems like a verse that's out of place in this psalm. Because he's overflowing with praise. He's talking about covenant faithfulness. And then he says that God has established His throne in the heavens. And His kingdom rules over all. Why would he say that in the midst of all this praise? Why would he say that in the midst of overflowing worship and adoration? Look, if you will, again at page 877. I think this helps us understand and receive some instruction about why David is not doing an aside here. He's actually making a statement about God's faithfulness. Look at question number 102. It asks, what do we pray for in the second petition? And the answer is, in the second petition, which is, thy kingdom come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. That's what we pray in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, that the Lord's kingdom would come. When it says that His throne is established in the heavens, you can be sure, just as we talked about with the children this morning, that the Lord Jesus one day is coming again. And if you belong to the Lord Jesus, He's coming for you in holiness and righteousness and love, and He will put on you a new body that you have never experienced, and the sin that you struggle with will be an afterthought, and the aches and pains that are difficult about this life and parts of your body that used to work or that have never worked, you will experience a glorious heavenly body that you have never had, and all the pain will be gone, and it will be but a memory. What was that like? God's throne is established in the heavens. His kingdom is everlasting. And one day He is coming also for people who do not belong to Him. And He's not coming to offer a place in the kingdom. He's coming in judgment because of sin. If you belong to the Lord Jesus, He has drank to the very bottom the cup of the wine of the wrath of God. But if you do not belong to the Lord Jesus, if you do not profess His name by faith as your Savior, there is promise for people who do not belong to Him, everlasting wrath and separation from God. I know that is not a popular word to preach today. It's not a popular idea to remind us of, but it is true and it is sure, and He is coming and there will be no holding it back. We said last week, what a fearful thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. But remember, people of God, I'm not saying this to discourage you in your faith and to say, well, I don't really have strong faith. I'm saying it to encourage you who belong to Him that you have a home in heaven, just as the children we said do, that Jesus is coming back. He has prepared a place and we will go there. But if you don't belong to the Lord Jesus, today is the day of salvation, according to God's word. Hear His voice and do not press it away. And, you know, it might be embarrassing to even come to the elders or come and talk to me and say, you know, I don't think I believed before today, but I would rather be embarrassed here than separated from God for all eternity. Hear His voice. Today is the day of salvation. Lastly, point number 3, overflowing with praise. In verses 20 to 22, all of creation joins in with David. He's overflowing. This is like the crescendo in a song. He can't hold his fingers back or the strings back. He is playing a beautiful symphony of praise. And he says the angels and the mighty ones, the ones that serve before our living God, the angels and the mighty ones, this is the host of heaven, the ones who cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All creation is joining to praise. These are the ones whose very existence is but to praise Him. and to do His will. In verse 21, it says, those who do your will. That's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The ones who do His will, who serve at His bidding, we are reminded to pray in this disciples' prayer that all of God's will would be done in and around us. Question number 103 says, again, what do we pray for in this petition? In the third petition, which is, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that God, by His grace, would make us able and willing to know and to obey and to submit to His will in all things as the angels in heaven do. David was foreseeing this Lord's Prayer, that all of God's work is being done in the earth. And Lord, would You please do it in my heart? Help me to know how to obey You and to walk in Your ways. Help me to be a true child of God, not just something that I do in front of other people so that they don't have a suspect thought about whether I belong to Jesus, or so they don't say anything about what I do or how I dress or how I talk. But Lord, make that the reality of my heart, that just as the angels in heaven obey You at the voice of Your word, Lord, help me to obey You. May I walk in Your ways. May I do Your will. And lastly, as David is finishing this psalm, as all creation has joined in praising the Lord, he says again, as he began this psalm, Lord, may I praise You. After asking all of creation to join in, all of His works in all the places of His dominion, David repeats the first words of the psalm again in personal praise and adoration and worship of His Heavenly Father. And I just want to remind us again, as I said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 6, it says that the Lord God created everything, and He made us from the dust of the ground. And He placed Adam and Eve in that garden that they would have dominion over it and enjoy it and walk in His ways. This psalm this morning is not something to tell us, do better, church, work harder. Just as Adam fell in the garden, 1 Corinthians 15 says that the first Adam came to give a living body. The second Adam came in the Garden of Gethsemane to give you a spiritual body. One that never will fail. That never will stop working. He will come and give you a resurrection life. And we believe that promise. And there are those who say the resurrection isn't real. It absolutely is real. And just as Adam fell in the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ passed every test in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He asked, Lord, take this cup away, if You will, but not my will, Yours be done, just as David said here. He did that for you and for me. Again, today is the day of salvation. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Cry out to Him. Today is the day to pray to Him, to praise Him for His wonderful works, and to see that He is your loving, compassionate Heavenly Father who desires to receive the praises that are due Him from His people. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are not accidents. We are not the result of some chemical reaction in our mother's bodies. We are the work of Your hands. And You have made us. Lord, I pray that as Your people today, we would cry out to You in worship, because Your word says that if we don't, the very rocks that You have made would cry out Your praises. Lord, thank You that You have made us, that we are Yours, that we belong to You, and nothing passes through our lives except from Your loving hands. Help us to trust You, Lord. I pray for those here today who maybe don't trust You, who maybe despise hearing Your name, that they would cry out to You in faith, that they would bow their knee now, because one day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You to be able to worship and to gather as Your people. And may You remind us in the sweetness of these next moments how good You are to us. In Your name, amen. Let's stand and sing together hymn number 38, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Thank you. seated as we take our tithes and our offering to the glory of God. For the opportunity and the privilege that it is to walk in obedience and to give tithes and offerings for the glory of your name. And Lord, we pray that you would use these tithes and offerings, a portion of all that you have poured out as blessings on our families, that we would be faithful in giving and that we would also have wisdom in using it for the sake and the glory of your kingdom. May the name of Jesus go forth from Lebanon Presbyterian Church in ways that honor and glorify you, that lift up the name of Jesus, that people who are sinners and lost would hear the gospel and hear it proclaimed with a loud voice that it is the Lord Jesus who saves. In your name, amen. Receive the benediction of our Lord from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it.